Indiana's ongoing debate over the legalization or at least decriminalization of marijuana would be largely unrecognizable to Hoosiers of an earlier generation. Long gone is the stereotypical trope-laden showdown between tie-dyed hippies and crew-cut Nixonites, between Cheech and Chong and right and wrong. These days, the battle lines cut across political, demographic, and economic boundaries, and the arguments focus not so much on morality as on licensing requirements, revenue distribution models, and the complexities of dual federalism. Hi, I'm John Schwanis, and on this week's show, we'll venture into the policy weeds of weed. So don't go away. Indiana lawmakers, from the State House to your house. In this year's session of the General Assembly, Hoosier lawmakers introduced no fewer than 13 bills seeking to relax, or at least study relaxing, Indiana's long-standing prohibition against marijuana, making pot one of the year's most popular bill subjects, right up there with firearms and education. Although none of the measures advanced, the debate over legalization or decriminalization rages on, both here in Indiana and in Washington. Joining me to discuss the issue are Democratic Senator Eddie Melton of Gary, the Senate's Assistant Minority Leader, Republican Senator Sue Glick of LaGrange, the Senate's Assistant President Pro Tem, Jeff Staker, the founder of Hoosier Veterans for Medical Cannabis, and Kevin Sabet, a former White House drug policy advisor who is now head of the anti-legalization group Smart Approaches to Marijuana and the author of several high-profile books on the topic, including Reefer Sanity, Seven Great Myths About Marijuana. Thank you all for being here. Jeff Staker, let me start with you. You were a former Marine Corps active duty scout sniper. You were in Desert Shield, Desert Storm. After that, you worked for the Defense Department as a security officer and firefighter. How do you get from that point to becoming the founder of Hoosier Veterans for Cannabis back in 2016?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on the show. People that know my story, it started in 2016 through the VA. I was prescribed opiates for nearly 10 years, and I was finding myself having to take more to do what a little did at the very beginning. And that's where I was running the risk of accidentally overdosing. Then I talked to my VA doctor and we got off the opiates. I inquired of what he thought about the medical cannabis. And he said, he would, if he could prescribe and recommend it, he would. And that's what got me started on this venture. And then I took a step back and I looked at the VA was starting to reduce and restrict how opiates were being prescribed because they were seeing the overdose and the suicide rate just going through the wall. And when they did that, unfortunately, it got even worse. Veterans were being turned off their medications. They were either dying from the prescriptions, they were dying from being abruptly cut off from the shock. They were turning to street drugs, i.e. heroin, or finally they were coming to wit's end and taking their own lives. And I thought that this was a movement and a fight that was worth fighting for my fellow veterans and now for the citizens here in Indiana.
Well, let me ask Senator Eddie Melton. Your caucus certainly has made legalization or at least a relaxation of existing statute on marijuana a top priority, a hallmark subject, as the chairman of the State Democratic Party put it. In your bill that you introduced, or one of them, two of them actually have your name on it, but both have legalized marijuana, I guess, generally not only medical but recreational. How much do stories like Jeff Staker's support your argument? I mean, is that the kind of person you had in mind when you introduced this legislation, or what is your ultimate goal there?
No, absolutely. I believe our caucus, we've listened and we've heard from over 10 years, veterans come to the State House and express their desire to see cannabis become legal in the state of Indiana. We've had several individuals, such as my friend, to express their thoughts and how it could benefit individuals to kind of cope with their medical conditions that they're faced that may be caused by being and serving this nation. One of the things that we've looked at in addition to that is looking at the decriminalization of cannabis in the state of Indiana. We know that a disproportionate amount of minorities are arrested. And as we look at across the nation, in over 30 plus states, maybe 38 states have some shape or form of legalization. And now you have industries that are profiting and making large profits, and states are benefiting from the legalization. But yet and still, we have individuals that are getting incarcerated at alarming rates. So the legalization from a growing perspective and a distribution perspective, but also the decriminalization and expungement of those records should be considered. And that's what it is in Senate Bill 324 that I've authored.
Your bill as drafted would have basically said anybody convicted, and again, it's not going to advance this session, but anybody convicted before July of 2022 would have been able to petition for resentencing, as I understand it. Senator Sue Glick, I know you said you have mixed emotions on this subject, and you come at this not only as a longtime senator, but also a former county prosecutor. Explain mixed emotions.
Well, you know, as Jeff has indicated, you know, there are a substantial number of individuals who are going from the hard drugs, if you will, the opiates and some of the abuse that we've seen a lot of times because of over medication, over prescription, who have gone down or used marijuana to wean themselves off the hard medications. We see there's a strong proponent for the legalization in the age group, the 65 to 75 and older group seems to be some of the stronger proponents for legalization of marijuana. We have seen different people come forward and explain the use. I know that not too recently, but in the past few years, a number of legislators went to the State Ag and Rural Leaders Conference in Denver, Colorado, and we had the ability to visit a marijuana grow facility and also a manufacturing facility. So we have not completely shut our eyes or our minds to the possibility of opening it, you know, of legalizing. But by the same token, there's not overwhelming evidence out there that this is the end all be all, that this is the salvation for all of these people in terms of painkillers and recreational use not having serious effects. So it's a balancing act. It's, you know, can we look at this in impartial means and decide whether or not this is a good thing? We don't want to legalize it and then find out 5-10 years down the road that this was a terrible idea and there's very little possibility we could go back if in fact we find out it's a critical mistake. So I think that mixed emotions is still describes my attitude. Okay. Trying to keep an open mind, but not wholesale opening the door to this.
Well, Kevin Sabet, I should point out for those who say, hey, this is a Hoosier show, you are a native Hoosier from Fort Wayne, so you qualify, and we appreciate your being here. Some of these arguments may be new to people tuning in, but through your organization and your work in the White House, you've heard a lot of these arguments in state after state. I think we're up to, 37, 38 now with medical marijuana, 18 with recreational. Respond to what you've heard so far today.
Yeah.
I know that's a broad question, but to take it and run with it, I'm curious your take.
Sure. Well, I think thank you for having me. I appreciate it. It's wonderful to be here on public television in Indiana. You know, I think we have to separate some issues here because we often entangle different concepts. There is I think the panel's done that, and I appreciate it. But just to be clear, so we need to understand that legalization, which is what states like Colorado have, allow the sales and the commercialization of marijuana products, usually with unlimited potency, these edibles, cookies, candies, ice creams. Remember, today's marijuana is not your Woodstock weed. It can be up to 99% potent. It's very different than what was used. It's been genetically bred to be totally different. And by the way, the people making money off of that in Colorado, unfortunately, they look a lot more like me than they do people of color or have been disadvantaged. They're essentially rich white investors. And I think we should be very open about that and understand that they're coming from industries like big tobacco and big alcohol, not exactly the most trustworthy industries. And so I worry about that. But that is different. You know, Senator Melton was saying some very good points. That's very different than the decriminalization of personal possession and the expungement of records. I don't think that people should be thrown in prison for low-level amounts. I don't think that we need to have somebody's criminal record, you know, follow them around forever when they made a mistake for possessing or using marijuana, which is, by the way, usually in the context of something else. I mean, if law enforcement finds marijuana, it's not because they're looking for it. Usually it's in the context of another crime. But I agree that that should not be an enhanced sentence or anything like that. So that's decriminalization, very different than legalization, which is even further different than the medical use of marijuana, which we know the FDA has said there are medical components that could have promise. But we don't really vote on medicine or have politicians, as great as that they may be, vote on medicine. That's kind of a weird way to do medicine. Nobody votes on, you know, Advil, whether it should be sold to the pharmacy or not, or we don't have referenda about Tylenol. The same thing with marijuana. That should go through the scientific process, not the state legislative process. And but of course, if there are people that are swearing to the positive effects, I don't think anyone is saying they should be put in prison either, or they shouldn't have the right to try it. But we should be very clear about the science here. And again, that's on the medical side, because I don't want to conflate things. But on the medical side, the science is pretty clear that actually marijuana is not a substitute for opioids. In fact, an Addiction Journal article just came out recently said that actually opioid users who use marijuana are liable to use more opioids, not fewer opioids. They act on different parts of the brain and body. They're very different substances in many ways. I'm not saying that there aren't individuals who have said that I prefer marijuana and now they're using marijuana daily, which I do worry about, because daily marijuana use and heavy marijuana use is tied with severe mental illness outcomes, schizophrenia, psychosis. It's why we have hundreds of thousands of people go to the hospital, by the way. And I actually wish legislatures would not only go to see Colorado's farms of marijuana. I wish they'd go see the treatment centers of marijuana in Colorado. I wish they'd go see the ERs where they have people coming in because of acute poisoning of THC. It was in a chocolate bar. They didn't know. Now they're having a psychotic panic attack. And that's happening a lot. It doesn't happen all the time. I'm not saying it happens with everybody. So we have to have a balance. We have to understand the difference in the policies. And we have to understand that the main motivation, maybe not in Indiana, but in this country as a whole, the main motivation to commercialize and legalize marijuana is one thing and one thing only. It's money. It's money for shareholders. It's money for rich investors. And I don't think those people have public health on top of their mind. That's my worry.
Well, it's, Senator Melton, lots to unpack there. Rather than ask a long question, I'm just going to say respond.
So I think he has some very valid points in terms of unpacking various aspects of this. From someone that's in the northwest part of the state, I see some things very differently in regards to the close proximity we are to the Illinois border. Chicago has in Illinois full legalization. Then you also have Michigan, which is a neighbor. Then when I focus and talk specifically about the judicial, the criminal justice aspect of this, I'm seeing a lot of people either crossing borders, going from one community to the next. And I think Indiana is going to take a burden of on trying to enforce, from a policing perspective, individuals that may be have the right to legally consume or participate in the substance crossing the borders. So we have to address it. It's something that we can't ignore. I'm happy to hear my colleague Senator Glick share that she has an open mind about it. That's extremely encouraging on the subject in a state that I think historically probably have not wanting to engage in that conversation. So with our caucus, we have about five bills that have been authored, and we're going to continue to push the subject, push the conversation. I think it's up to the public to really encourage their legislators to do exactly what Jeff is doing in sharing his story and talking about the benefits and how they can take advantage of this. Now, and I will say this, in terms of learning from other states, I think there's a valid reason. I think that we have to be very open As we know, Mississippi is one of the most recent states that I believe they have approved in the legislature just a few days ago, medical marijuana. So if Mississippi is leading before Indiana on a certain issue, I think it's something that we should take notice of.
Sue Glick, does it matter to you whether the bills that eventually advance, if not this session, certainly then in the future, would you rather, does it make a difference to you that they are recreational and very broadly defined, or that they are decriminalization or medical marijuana? I mean, is that a distinction that matters to you and others who might be somewhat ambivalent on this topic?
Absolutely. I think that the reason that cannabis is listed as a Schedule I drug, the reason it's illegal, the federal government has said it doesn't have a medical use, I guess, or that it's not no acceptable medical use, and it's has a high potential for abuse. I mean, that's why it's listed as Schedule I. The idea that it has medical, you know, that the medical field has been able to identify that, we're not seeing that. I'm not seeing reports saying this can be used. What I am seeing is some anecdotal, statements that, yes, I've used it, it's beneficial. The Delta 9, Delta 8 variations of THC, we're seeing that people are using them for things like if they're on chemotherapy, it's been beneficial to them, or they feel it's been beneficial in terms of anti-nausea and that sort of thing when they're undergoing chemotherapy. Those kinds of things are very important. I think we the idea of just opening it up and allowing marijuana to be legalized and, you know, whatever happens is not, I don't think that is responsible law.
Jeff
making
Saker,
for the Indiana General Assembly.
Well, Jeff Saker, let me ask you, Kevin Sabet a moment ago was saying it's sort of, he didn't use the word silly, I'll use that, to try to argue that this isn't about legalization in the broadest sense, that even if it's now about medical marijuana, that's just, you know, opening the, we talk about a gateway, I guess this is a different kind of gateway
that's
to broader
right.
legalization. Is that, do you buy that, Jeff Saker?
On the opposite side of what Kevin pointed out, a lot of people are finding that this is a gateway to exit the opiate epidemic. And it worked for me. It worked for a lot of veterans that are turning away from the alphabet of medications that they're getting from the VA. And, they're doing it responsibly. Trying to figure out what dosage is right for their ailments, and they're living a better quality of life. I understand both sides of the coin of this argument. Unfortunately, the biggest loss I think that we have this year within the state house was House Bill 1212, which though it was not properly titled, it called for a Indiana Cannabis Commission. And with all the arguments that we've had in the past and all the arguments that we're going to have in the future on this topic could go through that piece of that commission. And we can have great bills in the future. We can have great laws.
You're saying at least look at the issue and get a jump start. Kevin Sabet, let me your organization is called the Smart Approaches to Marijuana. Briefly, because believe it or not, we're almost out of time. What is the Smart Approach? Give me the nutshell.
Well, the smart approach is to not put people in prison and decriminalize. I think we would all agree with that, but also not to go the route of commercialization and legalization. I would be very curious from Jeff and other advocates as to whether they're going to stop at medical marijuana or this is going to go forward to full legalization, because in every single state, And I know Indiana can be an exception, and I hope it will be. But in every single state where it's been medical, it has absolutely been the gateway to full legalization of, for any reason. And I worry about that. So we are really at SAM about emphasizing prevention, because most people don't understand that science, you know, every major medical association, by the way, agrees with what I'm saying about the science. But I don't think the most Americans know that, that we have outdated views of marijuana based on, you know, giggling in our dorm room and smoking a few joints a while back. But that's not the reality of today's marijuana. So I also encourage parents and people in recovery from addiction to talk to the legislature and talk about how marijuana often opened the door to further use of other drugs, or simply of heavy use of you know, marijuana, which has, you know, so many mental health impacts. So we want to raise awareness about that. We don't want to be putting people in prison and being criminalizing people. Let's be very clear. But we want to have the reality of legalization, which is bad news. I mean, Illinois, that system right now is one of the most corrupt in the country. They have tried for years to give minority licenses. They haven't done it at all. They have, while they have revenue, they also have costs. And so you can't talk about revenue without talking about the cost of driving, which we haven't even talked about here, the driving issue, the cost to the workplace, the cost to the health system, lost productivity. I mean, there's on and on and on that we really need to understand. And I actually think Indiana could stand out and say, you know what, if you want weed and you want that environment and lifestyle, great. Go to the neighbor next door. But we're offering a safer environment on our roadways, safer for families. And it's kind of an alternative. It's like what Utah does for skiing versus Colorado now. You should see how Utah's ski industry has increased since Colorado legalized, because nobody wants to go to the slopes with, you know, people that are high. Some people do and they'll go there, but a lot of people don't. And actually, Indiana has a chance to stand out from the crowd rather than kind of, you know, follow blindly what another place might be doing for the wrong reasons.
Although skiing may not have much to do with the argument here in Indiana, although there are a few places down in the southern part of the state. Eddie Milton, let me ask you this. Your bills, of course, would have legalized marijuana broadly for adults and set up an apparatus. Is that, in terms of a line in the sand politically, this is, again, an issue that's very important to your caucus and to the state party. Would you settle for medical marijuana or decriminalization, or is it, are you all in with the broader bill as you introduced it?
Now, that's a very good question. And I'm a realist in the Indiana General Assembly. I know being in a super minority, we have to, if we're trying to get anything accomplished, it has to be in a bipartisan way, number one. And number two, I think moving in the as a first step, that would be acceptable. But I think we can go a little bit further. Right. And I think what Kevin mentioned in terms of looking at other states, I agree with that. And however, there's a few things I would just say in terms of providing experts like Kevin, providing legislative leaders with data and facts of things such as operating while under the influence. If that's an issue, where's the data in various states that proves that that's been an issue with that and other expenses that might be connected to the workforce, right? So I keep an open mind, and I try to be an advocate for the issues that I'm passionate about, but also I don't want to overlook some things that we might need to address along the way. Indiana has a history of being very prudent and very intentional as we craft legislation and implement laws. And I don't think we should deviate from that. However, I do think where the clock is ticking, and the nation is moving forward, and we're not joining the rest of the states in terms of moving this conversation along. And to me, it's at a stalemate. We can't wait on the federal government, just like the 38 other states that move forward. We have to have a productive bipartisan conversation on how we're going to address this issue.
Sue Glick, final, again, almost out of time, final word, we'll leave it to you. Senator Milton talked about this needing to be bipartisan. And if you look at the bills introduced this session, the 13 bills, many of them bore the names of Republicans. How close do you think, what's your political gut tell you about how close Indiana is to some form of either decriminalization or legalization?
Well, obviously, we're much closer than we were 5 years, 10 years ago, because we are watching our neighbors. We're watching the other states. I think the economic issue is driving a lot of the consideration. do we legalize marijuana, even, you know, in for small amounts, and then tax it, which is always a source of revenue, and some of our sister states have done that. But do we want to get into that? A few years ago, we all were told that vaping was going to replace cigarette use, and so we could wean everyone off of cigarettes, and they would take on this vaping, and it was going to be a cure-all. It became an economic thing, but really it became a more intense use of tobacco products. So right. it wasn't the cure-all that we all anticipated. So I think at least on the majority side, on the Republican side, I think we're being cautious. We don't want to get sucked in, if you will, to the idea this is going to be a benefit, this is going to be an economic boon, this is going to be something everybody wants. I think we have to, as I said at the very beginning, this is a balancing act. All right. You know, is it a profitable thing? Is it a medical thing?
All right. Well, those are great questions. And we will be watching how Hoosiers, both in and outside the State House, answer them in the coming months and years. Thank you all very much for your input. Very good panel discussion. I appreciate it. My guests have been Democratic Senator Eddie Melton of Gary, Republican Senator Sue Glick of LaGrange, Jeff Staker, founder of Hoosier Veterans for Medical Cannabis, and Kevin Sabet, head of Smart Approaches to Marijuana. And time now for our weekly conversation with Ed Feigenbaum, publisher of the newsletter Indiana Legislative Insight, part of Hanna News Service. Well, Ed, we've seen polls that show 80% of Hoosiers favor legalization. I didn't know 80% of Hoosiers agreed on anything anymore. How much will public input decide ultimately this long-running debate?
Well, I think the most important thing is not the large percentage, but the way that those percentages have been moving, John, particularly within Republican voters in those polls. We've seen that sometimes ideas take a while to come to fruition, and we saw this with the hate crimes. We saw this with same-sex marriage. I think you're going to see the same kind of thing with marijuana legalization. It's eventually going to happen because public sentiment is changing because all the changing demographics in particular.
What's the major impediment, do you think, at this point?
I think right now it's really technical. You know, obviously the governor has concerns about the federal law, but I think that's probably going to change. And I think we've also seen that the feds aren't interested in funding enforcement of this. But I think the key thing is trying to get the Indiana State Police, some of the local police on board on how they're going to be able to enforce the equivalent of OWI restrictions on marijuana.
So you think federal action has to precede, ultimately, legalization in Indiana?
Well, for this governor to sign it, apparently, but it hasn't bothered, you know, what, 30-something other states.
With different governors, yeah. All right, Ed. As always, we appreciate your insight. Look forward to talking with you next week. Conservative lawmakers take aim at Indiana's gun licensing system. Should Hoosiers be allowed to carry without a permit? We'll take it up on the next Indiana Lawmakers. You can access live streaming coverage of the General Assembly on the Internet as well. And remember, you can get our show on demand from Xfinity. Well, that concludes another edition of Indiana Lawmakers. I'm John Schwanis, and on behalf of WFYI Public Media and Indiana's other public broadcasting stations, I thank you for joining us, and I invite you to visit WFYI.org for more Statehouse news. Until next week, take care.